making statements here.
Odyssey Charter School Board Meeting, Emergency Session, 2 p.m. on December 3rd, beginning at 4 p.m.
So,
this is the closed session, isn't it?
No.
Not yet.
No.
Yeah, I'll turn it off.
No. We had an opportunity to work with an opening document that I put together, which was pretty much a great deal of things that we had done at the last strategic plan. If you recall, I had done about three or four different things with the document. I had crossed things out that were no longer relevant to the document because they didn't apply anymore. I had highlighted items that were done and for whatever reason did not need to be repeated again. I had highlighted items that were ongoing, and in some cases I had asked Nick to take a look at them and let me know if administration was still working with this kind of thing. And some things were highlighted as potential future items. So what I wanted each one of you to do, take a look at this plan and give us back feedback. A number of you have sent us feedback. And Laura, it's fair to say that pretty much the most of the feedback that we have is...
This was the document that was from Peter.
Okay, so that he put them side by side.
Yes, so okay. I took what we had in the Google Doc, so it would capture any changes that people had gone to Google Docs to change. And Peter had tried to do things on there, but he was concerned if it would transfer. So then he sent me a separate doc in which he was trying to be able to track his changes in a Word doc. So in order to try to capture it in the best way I could think of, I put them in a side-by-side document. Okay. And then I spent time this morning a little bit on formatting just to try to line things up so it would be easier to see and to compare.
Okay.
But I did not have notes from Ricardo, but I noticed that what you were intending to present before had green from Ricardo. I didn't have those necessarily in here unless you had done them on the Google Doc.
I made the changes on Google Doc.
Awesome. Then they are captured there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Yep.
Yeah, I went into Google.
I didn't
Doc
know if you had done something separate as well.
No, when I had put that in purple, etc.
Excellent. Okay.
That was supposedly captured on Google Doc.
Okay.
So that's where I did all the changes.
I didn't see anything in purple this morning.
Okay.
I wonder if somebody incorporated it.
Perhaps when Peter went through it.
Maybe.
So keep an eye on it.
Okay.
Ricardo.
I'll go back and review it.
So with the table of content here, we have done some reorganization from the original, and these are the outlined items here: organization and culture, budget and operations, facilities, capital fundraising, educational model, curriculum development, recruiting and retaining world-class employees, providing our students world-class educational opportunities, and building an effective community outreach program. So basically we have eight big areas here, all of them interconnected, but that's what we're looking at. Any suggestions as to how you want to go through 27 pages of this document in a short period of time? I apologize for things going the way they went. I was hoping that this meeting was going to be maybe 45 minutes long and then spend more time here, but we don't have this opportunity.
And Dimitri, I didn't know that we were going to get into all that either, but
okay,
we had to.
So, but again, I think we still can do some work for the next 20 minutes. Take a look at this document here that has people's feedback, and
let's go to specific items of feedback. I think that might be the easiest way to do it.
Okay. How do we look at the feedback that has been given here?
In the document that he sent to me, Peter had sent, He had sent it with his changes in it. So that's why I went with the side by side. So it's not noted what's different.
It's not called out.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that are different. You can see a strike through
sure.
on the Google side, and you can see how the changes were in the other document.
Like they're under goal one.
Uh-huh. So there are some changes there where he changed the language.
Just a little better.
That's why I put them side mm-hmm. by side.
And okay. Peter's is on the right.
Yeah. Right.
Peter's is on the right.
Okay, so he added a point and used committees to spread workload mm-hmm. and develop future coordinates.
Thank you.
Okay. I see.
So
this is the first one, right? Organization and culture.
Right, organization and culture, right, yes.
One concept that I don't think we've captured here is that as you're looking at the strategic options for Building 27, I think we alluded to it a little bit. You know, if you're following an early development center strategy, that cannot occur under the charter store.
Right.
Okay. And so as you're pursuing these different strategies, you also need to incorporate here at looking at different organizational structure under a HEPA,
right?
To be able to then pursue the different strategies.
So does everybody understand what Ricardo is talking about? Okay. What Ricardo is referring to is this. If we're going to be engaged in Building 27 with an early childhood education, let me step back. If we're going to rent Building 27 to another school like Academia, that's a clean deal.
Yeah.
They're a tenant, we sign papers along the same way as we signed with Academia. Done. If we're going to put together an early childhood education facility there, and we have partners with the universities in Greece, the universities here, any other stakeholders, then we cannot do it under our charter here as Odyssey Charter. What we know is that the organization that is going to be running that facility has to be a non-profit, and it has to be business-related income to be consistent with the tax-exempt bond. Two of the main criteria, which means now we have to create, a new organization has to be created to run that facility. And what this board needs to decide is, and a HEPA needs to decide, is how, what kind of an organization we're going to have to run that facility with our other partners, and how is that going to tie in with the overall campus and with the school here.
Would that be developed organically by that building, I guess, is my question, because if we were going to rent or lease to another school, like Academia, then they come with their own board, they come with their own management. Would it be part and parcel of what they're doing that they would have kind of their managing board, or is the suggestion that we would create kind of an offset, or we want to have our hands in it, although it's not considered an Odyssey Charter School operation because it's not within our charter? I guess I'm trying to understand if we're planning to lease it or rent it to someone, how much right or responsibility do we have to control it? And is that what we're trying to develop here?
Well, it's not necessarily a function of control. It's also a function of how we interact on this campus under some kind of an overall umbrella that now is responsible for running everybody who's on this campus. And that's Odyssey, Academia, Building 27, and what's the oversight of all these kind of things. So you have shared services, food, maintenance, you have collaboration between all these participants on this campus to make sure everybody plays the same, and a culture is created on this campus that we design, we help design. These are the kind of things that we need to figure out. And that's what we need to figure out if we're to go down that path. How is that potential operation will impact what's happening here on this campus?
Do we know if any other charter school in Delaware is in the same position?
Yes.
As us? Are there?
Something similar.
Well, with regards to an early development center, yes. With regards to having a campus and leasing it,
yeah.
You know, as a landlord, no.
Now, the issues that, I guess the issues that we face is because that's not occupied, managed by Odyssey Charter School students, administrators, then we can't really govern how they operate internally, correct? Like, academia has its own board.
Yeah.
They execute how they do. They give us a check every month for whatever the cost is. They decide what they want to do. So we can't go in there and govern how somebody in that building would operate, even though we're partnering with them. They need to have their own governing structure. Now, it could be governed by members of this board or HEPA or other things or people related to this. I mean, I don't know how that would work. That's a decision that I guess the board has to make, how that governing body might be established with the HEPA or other folks. I mean, I don't know. But I think that's the core issue there.
Yeah.
And because Delaware, I guess, doesn't have early childhood, we can't extend Odyssey's charter in an early childhood area, I guess.
Well, it's not in our charter. It's not in the Odyssey charter.
But that
was the point that I was confused on. With the early childhood initiatives through the state and through the federal government, there's no opportunity, or is it we just don't want to engage in having our hands more? I had thought that it was going to be an extension of Odyssey. But
the question is the government. I mean, it's the question of structure. If you look at I don't know the intricacies because I haven't studied the details, but if we look at Eastside, that has already embarked on that journey. They have an early development center, which is different than what districts do that just have a pre-K 4 kind of thing.
Right.
Structure set up to provide that sort of feeder pattern, but they don't have a 0-5 setup, which is, I think, the current thinking. They set up a separate, I think, foundation that also reports to the Eastside board because of, you know, the structural constraints that did not necessarily allow them to put it straight under. Now, that is the, you know, that I think is part of the strategic discussion that, you know, you were raising, the board needs to consider. Just because independently of which structure you end up implementing, of course, straight under Odyssey, it becomes considerably more complex, and therefore how you tier the organization and the staffing, etc., looks one way. If you do two entities, of course, then the governance is probably a little easier operationally. There's going to be relationships. Doesn't mean that Odyssey still doesn't own everything, and that whoever has, you know, an independent organization or an Odyssey Foundation, let's say, would still be paying the rent to Odyssey Charter School as the landlord and owner of it. But that's all the kind of discussion that needs to occur as part of the strategic planning. What makes the most sense long term? From the the school's perspective. A final point, I think what Dimitri was alluding to is, independently of whether you have independent tenants or related tenants, the campus concept was one of the challenges that Longwood wanted to implement at the community education building, where Longwood said, no, Longwood got a built a 400,000 square foot building. Longwood is not in the real estate management component, so they created the CEB as a nonprofit to hold the asset and be the educational landlord, where they did not control the schools that were the tenants, but they facilitated and articulated what the building in a culture would be and how, you might say, decision-making would occur on the campus under the auspices of the landlord. You know, so they set up a structure. These are all realities that Odyssey, as a landlord, needs to think.
But do we want to do what the CEB did? Because they've lost tenants.
They just lost one tenant.
Antonia?
Yeah.
They lost two. They lost, they also lost the Met.
Met.
They never were the CEB. The Delaware Met was never the CEB.
There's
so if you're understanding that the Delaware Met is part of the community education building, that is incorrect. The Delaware Met was renting a building from the Charter School Development Corporation.
And who owns that? Wasn't that part of the
Charter School
CEB?
No, the Charter School Development Corporation is a huge national charter or organization that does facilities.
Well,
for
how does that link up to you, Ricardo? How did the Met, weren't you consulting with the Met?
Well, the Met was one of the schools through Innovative Schools.
Okay.
And Innovative Schools had a master lease, and the Delaware Met was a sub.
But
a
that,
C.
Weren't you involved with that?
Not at the CB.
No, weren't you involved as Innovative School, you personally, yes, with the Delaware Met?
Yes, we.
You were.
All of Innovative Schools was involved. Yes, we were the master lessee.
But you were. Were that was
no,
your
the Delaware Met.
Who from, if I may ask,
yeah,
from Innovative Schools was managing as a CMO the Delaware Met?
The programmatic side was being done by Teresa Gershman. You know, remember the CMO, you know, let's not get into this discussion here. We can take it offline. It seems that there's a misunderstanding of how it was structured, and I can definitely clarify that for you, Nick. Okay. But the point here, the broader point to be made, I think, is that there is a discussion, as you pointed out,
yeah,
that the board needs to decide whether you want to be just a passive landlord, okay, and have one or two additional tenants, however that plays out, and they have total independence, and all you're facilitating are shared services. And that's a strategy. Or you say, no, we want to make sure that we are leveraging and creating a campus culture. And that's another strategy that you as a board, being the landlord, need to decide. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not advocating.
Let me try to give it one more try, okay? We have to lease building 27.
Right.
Someone has to get in there.
Right.
Most of the opportunities that are available to us right now are straight leases to someone like Antonio. Right?
Right.
Gateway Lab is one of them, if they come here. This year, next year. There is a hybrid where if an early childhood education center is going to be creating there, some of us from Odyssey, members of this board, may have a say in a new organization and the new board that will be created to run that organization.
Right.
Okay? That's the only difference.
Can I ask maybe a more basic question, maybe not a more basic question? Is the idea, what exactly is the benefit to Odyssey, to the campus more generally, of going the early childhood education route? Is the thought that this would be some type of feeder for Odyssey?
No, the early childhood education center has a wider, larger mission to serve the community, mostly underprivileged children in our community that cannot afford to get this kind of services. And I'm not saying 100% of that would be that, but the other thing is that when you have this kind of diverse organization in here, there will be a lot of benefits that we would be gaining through cooperation with them, just like with academia, just like with Gateway Lab, just collaborating and working with them. on a number of things that are going to be taking place there. For example, the Early Life Childhood Education Center, if it's going to be run, let's say, by a couple of universities that are going to be contributing certain knowledge that they have, that will also funnel through to Odyssey, to academia, or anybody else who's on this campus.
In what way?
Shared knowledge, shared resources. Some of these children also may be coming into our school or may be going to academia. There's no guarantee because we're a lottery system, right? So here's an opportunity, and that's what excites educators, that under these kind of conditions, they may be able to, because there will be an incubator, an experimental organization, they may be able to trace a number of children, a cohort, from zero to graduating, whether it graduates from us or academia, and be able to have a lot of learnings that will be useful to the general population.
So the idea is not for this to somehow modify our current lottery or selection?
We're not touching that. We cannot. That has nothing to do with it.
Gotcha.
This is more of an opportunity to the community, to the educators in our community, to create this kind of an organization and structure.
I think it's every 3 years.
And us in this campus, be able to contribute to the quality of life, especially serving the underserved, and still having a profitable organization coming out of there, although it would be a non-profit. And at this point, this is something that right now you have major players basically coming to us and say, if we're going to take this building over, how would you guys like to play? You, meaning Odyssey. And it's a great opportunity for us to participate through this board. So we have a say in what is going on over there and be able to create that community in this campus that serves multiples of student populations and cohorts in here.
Do we have any offers currently, or?
Yeah, the University of Delaware basically said to us, we have an interest with the University of Patras in Greece to create an organization and a facility using Building 27 to create an early childhood education center in there. And not only that, I have also been approached by other organizations like Montessori, for example.
Mm-hmm. For early learning or to use
for early learning, right, yes. And work also with the University of Delaware. So this kind of interest has been growing by credible members of our community, in the educational community.
Are they available to start in September if we say?
I don't believe we can do that in September. It most likely will be something that we'll have to start the following academic year. Right now, we have no opportunities on the table that can start next August.
Including Gateway?
I'm sorry?
Gateway.
Including Gateway,
yeah. They don't think they can pull anything together by next August. It would be very good.
Did they put a modification in?
No. Not yet.
Not that I know.
No, they're not. The latest information is that, yes, they want to move with towards a high school.
How are we pursuing Gateway? Like, how often are we in? Is that, like, I don't know who's even talking to them, to be honest with you.
I'm talking to them multiple times a week.
Okay. So do you think that it's getting warmer or colder?
Nick and I and Ricardo met with their board of directors.
Okay.
They have to make some very big, serious decisions. One of the biggest decisions that they had to make was whether or not to grow backwards towards kindergarten or go towards high school. It looks like they gravitate towards high school. But they also have a lot of other decisions to make in terms of commitments, financial commitments, and their ability to be able to grow in a modest way, and whether or not they can afford to do that. So, yeah, we've been in constant communication with them. Last week alone, I spoke to them twice. The week before, three times, I have met with their leader. Anytime they want access to us, for whatever reason, we provide it to them.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
How are they planning on funding the renovations as they move in? Are they going to pay for all the renovations?
Yeah, same model we use for academia.
For academia. Okay, so from my perspective as a board member here, practically it would sound like it would behoove us to have revenue being generated to help us financially and still keep our finger on the pulse, meaning that it's an academic environment. So for me, I just think it's a one situation. The only concern I would have would be future. If we go all the way up through 12 and then we decide to expand a little bit, increase our footprint, will we need that space back? You know, if we do commit to another organization, you know, for the long, you know, far-sighted in the future, would that be something we would be concerned about?
If I understand you correctly, what you're saying is, right now we have committed ourselves to 4 buildings,
mm-hmm.
and what we're saying is, we want to go through a major modification mm-hmm. to increase the size of our school to the size, let's say, of New York High School,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, are we going to need extra space?
If not, near right. future, but in the long-term future.
Right. So if that's the case, then I don't think you can enter with anyone on this campus in more than 1 or 2 year leases, mm-hmm. starting next year,
mm-hmm.
because 3 year leases, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how you're going to manage something like this. On the other hand, we also have the investors who they have placed on us certain expectations around income coming from the schools, and that's not just short-term income, it is more guaranteed long-term kind of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. A couple of years ago, the charter school movement in Delaware was strong. Right now, it's on a moratorium. A couple of years ago, we have had 2, 3, 4 schools banging down our doors to come and get in here for that building. Those opportunities are not there right now. We also have real estate people that are looking to see if there is anybody available right now who's willing to commit into a 60,000 square foot building, and there is nothing right now. Another option we have is the very first option we had when a state organization, some kind of a state agency that somehow could qualify to be business-related income to us, like the families and children, right? We were able to qualify them with the auditor for that. But I don't think those opportunities are out there. Frankly, I haven't been looking. The message I had received from the old board was they didn't want this kind of an organization on our campus. Joe had helped him with a lease which was about ready to be signed with the state. And I don't know if we can get this kind of an opportunity here again. So now you start diverting from becoming an educational campus to something else, turn this into an office building. These are big decisions the board has to make. The reality that stares us in the face is, what are the realistic opportunities we have here? And how much time do we have to get some of those things happening?
Did you say we're supposed to have someone by August, according to the investors?
Ideally, we need to have someone in there by August. The likelihood of this happening right now is small. Unless someone like Gateway Lab all of a sudden comes and says, we found the money, we're going a modification to our charter, and we're going to come in, then we have to do what we've done consistently here, take that building and retrofit at least a part of it within a short period of time and let them get them in there.
So just to summarize, is Gateway off the table because of money or because of process?
Both. Both.
Are they off the table?
No, they're off the table. So let me, yes. They've made the decision that they will not be submitting a major modification to go to a high school for this coming fall. That is due in December, at the end of December. And it's very complicated because there's all the curricular stuff and so on,
mm-hmm.
Plus the financials. I have worked with Gateway leadership on developing their 6-year budgetary projections, because they, you know, as a special needs school, and as you're discovering all the special needs, although they get a lot more funding, they almost get $20,000 per student given their population. They would not be able to shut down their current operation and just move into this building. And so, because they've got a lease that they have to honor, and if they walk away, it is their responsibility to find a new tenant. And so they've got some big costs that they have to absorb, not only for that site, but as they ramp up here, they're doubling up on their costs, and that's impacting their cash flows.
I thought their lease was ending. I thought their contract, their lease was ending. 2 more years.
Yes, it's 2 more years. And so 2019, 2020.
We had the same issue with Pantano.
Okay.
And we ended up holding off Pantano an extra year before we pulled out of there after their lease expired. And if after our lease expired, there were still issues that we had to resolve with Pantano about leaving the building behind. So when it comes to leasing arrangements, they can be costly and they can have consequences. So this is what they're evaluating right now. Can they afford to walk away from that lease? The answer is no.
So yes, I think a potential solution for let me put it like this. Gateway, the executive director, Tim Griffiths, is really concerned about losing the opportunity of becoming part of this community. He is very concerned. But his board has historically been very, very conservative financially. And so when we talk about having to fundraise several $1 million to do the fit out and all of that, they want to be very cautious about it, which is their prerogative. And I've been also involved in these conversations and so on. And what I've been trying to push with them is say, you know, what are the different scenarios that might allow something to happen that is not only beneficial to them, because they would want to take the smallest possible footprint, but we here have to put it into the context of our obligations and commitments to the investors. And see how that gets, navigates. But coming back to the strategic discussion, even if we're looking at 2018, let's say that 2017 is not a reality, it's 2018, then there's a discussion to be had with the investors. What does that look like? Because there's $300,000 of net revenue that is projected in 2017, 2018 of occupancy in building 27. If that conversation, if the leasing of the building gets pushed back into 2018, you do still have the strategic discussion of saying, do we want this to be a K-12 campus and have that impact? And so you would prefer negotiating with the Gateway. Or do you say, is there a bigger impact to the broader community by introducing a high quality global partnership early development center? And I think what Dimitri was saying, there's a lot of traction and a lot of know-how, a lot of goodwill in Greece at UD to make the exploration of a demand in the state also for quality early development centers to pursue that as an option.
Now, obviously, for all of you here, you have every right to go out there, and that's the board, not you, Denise, and me, and beat the bushes and find people to go into Building 27 starting tomorrow. I mean, the kind of effort I'm describing to you goes back 2 years. It has occupied a great deal of my time with meetings, emails, all different kinds of communications, and what I'm doing is not for some kind of a pipe dream, but to make sure that we got income coming in out of those buildings. A year ago, I was working over these very same holidays, putting together plans and budgets so I can go early January in front of academia, their board, and put in front of them a 40,000 square foot plan done with the architect, priced with the engineer and the general contractor, and convince their board to sign a lease with us so we can get them there this August. That was an exercise all by itself. So these things don't happen like that. They require targeted organizations that I have desire to do something and to convince them to move. And it requires a great deal of planning and commitment to them. We promised academia they were going to get in there for under $20 a square foot. Guess what? That's all the money they had, and we got them in there on time with a certificate of occupancy for under $20 a square foot. So there are a lot of moving parts here and a lot of balls up in the air. So it's not like we're sitting around this table trying to idealize the best kind scenario of a number of opportunities that are out there floating in front of us to generate income out of these two buildings. It's a huge pressure cooker. Huge pressure cooker. So everyone around this table has the obligation to try to help out and figure out how we're going to generate the income from those buildings.
Now, Dimitri, now you said you started with academia in January. So you're saying that it takes roughly 8 to 9 months from the time somebody says, I want that facility, I want to move in there, to actually get it fitted out for them for occupancy. How long does that take?
Well, what
depending on months, the size.
What
academia was 5 months for 40,000 square feet.
What we've done here consistently defies the norms, both in terms of time and money. Anybody who doesn't understand that needs to understand that. Consistently, we defy the norms. Okay. Now, we took this model and we ran it here, and we got it done. Then we did it with Building 22, and we got it done. And then we did it with academia, and we got it done. Half of Building 21, same thing. But here are some of the elements that nobody's looking at. With academia, the pressure was on, not necessarily that we started in May, construction in there, with a certificate of occupancy end of August. There was a critical issue associated with a specific permit we had to receive from DOE, which we did not get until literally probably early August, that clearance from DOE. Talk about a risk all of us took together, including the Board of Academia that committed relocating from this building to come over here. These are the little things that we've been managing all along to get ourselves into our buildings and also others into our buildings. These are not straightforward processes we're dealing with where we can sit back and say we have plenty of time, plenty of budgets, and no issues whatsoever associated with permitting, and we'll execute when this opportunity comes. That's out the window. That's always been the story of this campus right here.
I'm trying to get time frame around. So in other words, the preference is for an academic entity to occupy that facility, which typically means a school year, right? It's a September time start frame, which means, and if Ricardo's right, you know, maybe 6 months at the minimum, really. That's probably crunching things to say, you know, we can get some, which means if we don't have somebody by March or April, it's unlikely that that building will be occupied by a school entity for the school year unless they come in late. So, and that's not very far off, which means, you know, like I said, better likelihood is probably the following school year. Not we're saying that there may be something that happens. There's always something that could happen. But unless the next 3-4 months something happens, it's probably going to be the following school year.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the benefits of the early childhood education prospect is that that's not necessarily true. They could come in and say January.
They could come, yes.
It's not, that kind of thing is not necessarily tied to the academic.
They could open up the doors.
But parents probably make their decisions with their kids.
That's correct.
That's true, but for, I think an early child, right, except for
that. A lot of kids are in daycare, and then if they have the opportunity to attend an early childhood center, then they would be able to switch mid-year with them.
Yeah, what Joy's saying is something that we've discussed with the university people. Although it's not the ideal entry point in the middle of the year, it is one.
Yeah, it's not out of the question.
Right.
Might I make
as say like gateway would be.
Yeah. Might I make a suggestion that it seems as though Section 1 is a huge sticking point for us and we don't get past it. well, and in light of the meeting having been set until 5 o'clock and having members who have obligations at that time, would we like to explore any of the other sections, albeit briefly, knowing that we're going to have to schedule another day to work on this plan? Because
yes,
we are not completing
it has to be an exclusive one. As a matter of fact, because I like to go into a closed session.
Well, then the proposal might be a motion to go into closed session then at this point, so we have time before 5 o'clock.
Right. So we're going to send you this document out to all of you.
I've shared it with everyone.
Okay, thank you.
Already.
Already. So what we would like you to do is come back to us in writing, either no comment or as many comments as you want to. So when we schedule another meeting, most likely in January, after the holidays, we need to make a commitment that we'll come here fully prepared to take everybody's input or no input and finish this up. So having said that, I'd like someone to make a motion to go into closed session.
I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Mr. Rigos? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're going to go into closed session. Thank you.
I'm going to turn this off.
See you, Ricardo.